Come on to my house, my house. I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house. I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Elise McDonough. Elise is the author of a new book called Marijuana for Everybody, but she's also the author of the official High Times Cannabis Cookbook, and we're going to talk about cooking with cannabis. When did you first become interested in cooking, Elise?
I became interested in cooking when I was a teenager. I became a vegetarian, and so that sparked me on my journey of learning how to make my own food. And I didn't later get into cannabis cuisine until after I had started working for High Times in about 2002. I started reading a lot of the old recipes in the magazine and recreating them.
It seems like, you know, being a vegetarian when there wasn't a lot of access to vegetarian cookbooks, you know, kind of makes you a little more adventuresome about, you know, how do you create recipes?
Yeah, and it was interesting growing up in Cleveland, and we just didn't have the access to the incredible produce that you have in some other parts of the country. So I remember being so excited to try things like avocados, which I didn't have until I was in my 20s.
Yeah, a lot of great California food, isn't there?
Yeah, it's amazing. The farmers markets out here are just bursting with the most glorious produce.
And how did you find your path to High Times Magazine?
Well, I had gone to school in New York City for visual art, and I had a very inspirational teacher named James Victori, and he told all the students at one point, he said, you know, whatever your dream job is, he's like, you have to at least send a resume, send a letter. You never know what could happen. And so I followed his advice, and I was like, you know, I think it'd be fun to work for High Times. And I sent them a letter, and it just so happened that their art assistant had quit. And I started off as an art assistant there. And, yeah, we got along great. And so I just kind of worked my way up through the ranks there. I've been there for 12 years.
Now, you worked with a lot of the recipes that came in. Did people send things in just, you know, they tried things and they sent things into the magazine?
Well, for a long time, the magazine had a column called Psychedelic Kitchen, and that was written by Chef Raw. And so he was our recipe columnist for more than 15 years. And so I tried a lot of his recipes, and a lot of them were vegetarian, so that's kind of how I got into it. And then, sadly, Chef Raw passed away, and so since then we've had a variety of different chefs who contribute recipes, and it's really been an amazing journey. And right now what I'm focused on is I interview edibles makers from around the country, and I get a chance to share their stories and their recipes as well.
You know, it's kind of funny because I think everybody, when they think about cooking with cannabis, you know, we all fall back on the brownie. You know, and not that there's anything wrong with the brownie, but I was really surprised reading your book just about how many savory recipes that you had in the book.
Yeah, the beauty of the infusions is that you can put cannabis into any kind of fat. So once you have it infused into your butter or your oil, you can add that to any recipe that calls for that type of fat. So the possibilities really are limitless. And we've seen people go beyond fats, making different infusions with alcohol, and this is how you get things like the sodas. You can make infusions into syrups, and you can make soda out of it. You can make almost anything that you can put your mind to and get some cannabis in there somehow.
Now, why does cannabis work so well with the fats?
That's the basic chemistry of the cannabinoids. So your THC, it's basically soluble in oil or in fat. So when you make your infusions, just by simply simmering the plant material in butter or oil, you're creating a chemical reaction where the THC is migrating from that vegetable matter and it is bonding with that fat molecule. And so then you can strain the plant matter away and all your psychoactivity has migrated into that fat. And so that's the basics of how edible cannabis works.
And how do you determine dosage?
Well, before the advent of medical marijuana laws and laboratory testing, it really was just about trial and error. And you'd have to really have consistent access to a starting product that you know, knew the baseline potency of. So if you're getting cannabis that's maybe 10 to 15% THC and you're making the same recipe with it over time, you can dial in your dosage. But still, you know, dealing with the black market, you had no idea what you were going to get. Right. You just bought the ticket and took the ride, as Hunter S. Thompson used to say. So, you know, that led to people getting ripped off. You get a brownie that had no effect, or that led to people getting their hands on something that was way, way too strong for them. And that's why a lot of people that I know, even the most hardcore heads, you know, that I know who puff tough all night long, a lot of them have sworn off cannabis food because they had that one experience that was just way too difficult and overwhelming. And so now we've got this whole new era of laboratory testing where you can get a chocolate bar and you know that it has 180 milligrams of THC and you know to only eat a small segment of that chocolate bar.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has enabled a lot more people to try cannabis foods who wouldn't have previously.
It seems like, too, with some of the dosage, I mean, depending on what part of the plant you're using, which parts do you recommend people use when they're making food out of cannabis?
It's easier to calculate dosage with hashish, I feel like. There's less vegetative matter to get in the way. So people make what they call cold water hash, and you can get kind of a coarse grade of hash. You know, it's not as fine as what people would use for smoking, but you have this sort of byproduct hash that you can use for cooking, and that's my favorite ingredient because it's easier to dose, and you can get this really nice earthy flavor out of it. You don't get the grassy taste of the chlorophyll at all.
That's one of the things that I found interesting in looking at your book was, you know, this idea of getting to the point where you actually develop a taste for the taste of marijuana as opposed to trying to cover it up with other things.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like the grassy taste. I've met some people who do. You know, the grassy taste actually goes better in a lot of savory applications where you have other herbs as well. Like, I really like to put it in pestos. I think that's a great application for the flavor of cannabis. But when you're going for baked goods, you know, a lot of people will attempt to cover up that flavor by using chocolate, by using peanut butter. You know, those flavors are pretty effective at kind of glossing over the cannabis taste. It's still there, but you just don't mind it as much. But I really like to cook with hash because it actually does lend a nice flavor to your baked goods.
When using marijuana, do you use fresh or dried? Have you used fresh marijuana in any recipes?
There's different applications for fresh marijuana. What a lot of people don't realize is that the plant, as it grows out of the ground, is not psychoactive at all. You could take a fresh bud or a handful of fresh leaves, and you can juice them, and you can drink that juice, and you won't get high off of it, but you will get a lot of the medicinal benefits.
Oh, okay.
Which is a really fabulous thing that a lot of people are doing up in the Emerald Triangle. So, if you cook with fresh buds, you're not going to get high. You have to have this reaction occur. Basically, it's called decarboxylation, and that is when you dry your buds or you heat them. It's an action of time and temperature. So when that stuff, as it dries out, your acidic cannabinoids, your THCA, that's the precursor of THC. So you heat or dry your buds, and then that THCA turns into the psychoactive form of THC. So if you're cooking to have a psychoactive effect, you absolutely have to make sure that your cannabis is thoroughly dried.
Okay.
And you can do this by toasting it in an oven at 240 degrees for about an hour.
Okay. Well, great. This has been Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Elise McDonough, author of the official High Times Cannabis Cookbook. We're going to come back next week and talk some more. Thanks, Elise.
Oh, thank you so much, Jennifer. It's been a real pleasure.
Grapes and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.